Let's move on. Okay. Tonight we're in chapter 12. Now what's happening is in the first Tuesday of October, we're going back to chapter 1. Everybody who's been here for this whole period of time, you know if you've graduated or not. I always encourage people to take this class twice. Everybody say two times. The reason twice is because honestly, the first time, especially if you have never heard these principles, the first time it's like, wow. Second time it actually seeps in. So if you can take this twice, it'd be awesome. Don't tell Pastor Banfield I said that. Don't tell Pastor Dan I said that. And let's please wipe this from the record at 7:05 and 16 seconds on the live stream. But honestly, you are going to learn more if you take this two times in a row. There's a lot of information that's dispelled in this one class, a lot. And you are actually taking Theology 101 and 102. And so, surprisingly, when you graduate this class, you know more than many of the local pastors. That is, I'm not even exaggerating. Most of the local pastors have never been to Bible school. So you actually know more than most of the local pastors. And we've had people that have left here and gone to another local church, and they've had to teach the pastor. So we don't want that. Wow, am I echoing too? Am I actually on? Wow, that's why. Hi. No? No? Hi. Hi. Okay, so last week we went into what? Fasting. How many of you fasted? How many of you fasted slowly? I guess you had to be there for that one. All right. This week we're going to get into praise and worship. As you noticed on the last part of prayer was praise and worship. Praise and worship is a major part of your life. Not a minor part, but a major part of your life and your walk with the Lord. One thing that you'll know is that what you do in public, if you don't do it in private, has very little credence. Let me say that again. If you don't worship in private, like if you're in your car all the time and you're listening to "My Grandma Drank Suds," you know, or, you know, you're listening, you know, you listen to all the rock and roll and all the other stuff, and you're not in praise and worship, honestly, just coming and praise and worshiping on Sunday, you're not going to get the greatest sensation. I mean, you're not going to get the greatest results. How many of you want to have an awesome experience with Jesus? The way you have an awesome experience with Jesus is consistency. You heard that on Sunday. Consistency is everything. And that means you praise and worship. My wife, actually, this morning, my dog started barking at like 20 after 4. He was up in the man cave, and I have a slider, and he's barking. It's at the driveway. He's barking like somebody's standing in the driveway. I mean, he's freaking out. He's a big dog, 125 pounds, and, you know, he's got that "I'm going to eat somebody" growl. And so finally I got up at 4:30. There's nobody in there. Maybe a cat walked across or something. I have no idea. But I've been up for a long time. And this morning, I'm the one who makes the coffee. The Bible says Hebrews. I'm sorry. So some jokes are funny. Some are just bad. So Hebrews, I was brewing the coffee, and I guess she yelled up, "Bring me coffee," because I bring her coffee every morning in bed, and I didn't hear her. So I went back, and I got my cup of coffee. I went to my man cave. That's where I pray. And this morning, I didn't put on worship. Many times I listen to Juanita Bynum. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. But I'll listen to Juanita Bynum, and I'll praise and worship, and I'll get into my time of prayer with Jesus. And this morning, I just picked up my guitar, which is rare. And I picked up my guitar, and I just started singing to the Lord. He's the only one that says it's good. I'm singing to the Lord, and I'm just having a great time in the presence of Jesus. And my wife comes up, and she says, "Did you get my text?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, I've been asking for coffee." She said, "Who are you talking to?" I'm thinking, duh, what do I do every single morning when I get up? Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him about my trouble. He will hear my faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now, that's an old song. That's an Uncle Howard song. Yes, sir.
Does Betty Jane qualify?
Betty Jean does not qualify. Nobody here even knows who she is because nobody should. Amen. She's a woman that sings before Jesus, and like me, she thinks she has a good voice. Okay, so let's move on. And so, you know, it's praise and worship. This morning, I always start my prayer time off with praise and worship. The Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Now, what I found is a lot of men don't like to praise. In fact, what's interesting, it's getting better now. It really is getting better. But it used to be we would have almost 100 men out in the foyer until worship was over. I'm not even exaggerating. And then the men would come in. I was like, what? What's going on here? Men don't like to praise and worship. But there's a need. Are you sitting in the front row? Are you sitting in the spit zone? Come on now. It's amazing that when you recognize that men don't like to praise and worship, you got to ask yourselves why. It's not feminine to praise and worship. Listen, a man that can express what's in his heart for his God is a strong man, not a weak man. And you'll find that if you follow the process of praise and worship, you will create an atmosphere for God to show up in your shower, in your car, on your toilet. It don't matter where you are. If you will learn how to praise and worship, you will be able to create the atmosphere for God no matter where you are. And it is powerful. My most powerful experience with the Lord Jesus Christ when I was young in the Lord was standing at a urinal. I know, I'm trying to talk spiritual. But I had been in a time of prayer, and I was just talking to the Lord, I'm going pee. And literally, his presence was so strong that I actually had to turn around and look. And he said, I'm with you no matter where you are. And for me, that was a personal revelation, a personal understanding that as long as I create the atmosphere, my God is there. The Bible says where two are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. So while we're here tonight, we know how many of you are born again? How many of you are not? So we can have a salvation altar call. Okay, that's a good sign. Okay, so if you're born again, that means who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. Very good. You're possessed twice. Twice you're possessed. Yeah, yeah, amen. So she's pregnant, you know, possessed twice. Yeah, okay. Boy, you guys are not real moving tonight. You know, really tough. You're a tough crowd. You're a tough crowd. You're a tough crowd. And so if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, then ultimately we can create that atmosphere wherever we are. And that's what God's plan is for your life. So praise and worship is very much a misunderstood thing. We come to church on a Sunday morning and we are waiting for the band to kick it off. And I want you to know that praise and worship has nothing to do with the band until like four steps into what praise and worship is. We have created it something that we're not. We've created it to be very much an entertainment. We've created it to be almost like going to a TV show. We'll watch. Boy, that was really good fog this morning with that light going through. Did you see that? That was cool. It is not a light show. It is not a fog show. It is not, boy, that drummer is better than the other drummer. It's all about you and I being able to enter into the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you understand how to move in the presence of the Holy Spirit in praise and worship, you can howl and the Holy Ghost will show up. That's why I'm not a good singer, but I can lead praise and worship. Why? Because I know how to flow in praise and worship. I know how to flow in the presence of the Lord. So it's all about you and I learning the presence of Jesus. We learn the presence of Jesus when the presence of Jesus is more present. There are people that have literally been in the house of God that have never felt the presence of God. And that's horrible. Because the presence of God is tangible and transferable, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God wants you not only to love him because you love him, but he wants to touch you. He wants you to feel him. He wants you to experience him. And that usually comes the strongest during praise and worship. That's why this is a participatory, that was a very good word, participatory experience, and not somebody who's just sitting by and watching and waving as things go by. So I want to challenge you as praise and worship. Many of you have never come forward for praise and worship. I challenge you to do that this week. Whether you realize it or not, the presence of God is thicker here than back there. Now, it doesn't mean that God don't love you back there. But what happens is you'll find that when you make steps more towards the front, not that the front is anything special, because we could make the front back there next week, and it's all about, I want more of Jesus, I'm going for it. When you step forward in faith, it activates the presence of the Lord in a greater dimension. So I challenge you to be people that are going to come forward, to be people that will learn how to praise and worship, to foster the presence of the Lord. You could have an amazing time with Jesus right in your vehicle. Literally. I mean, right, nobody around, just you and Jesus in that car. You can have an amazing supernatural experience if you learn how to create and foster the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to show you there is a difference between praise and worship. Praise and worship is a lifestyle. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. This is something that you should do all the time. It's not something new. Now, I put a little complaint on Facebook this morning. I very rarely do that, but my wife said something funny, and I thought it was cute. She said that praise and worship these days, on one of these stations, we listen to a Sirius XM station, that it's a pout genre. Everything is sad. Hope I make it. Oh, Jesus, where are you? You know, it's all sad. It's all depressing. We flip it on to Kirk Franklin. Dear God, thank God for Kirk Franklin, who can kick up some praise and give God glory and call those things which are not as though they already are. But, you know, you need to get praise and worship going in your car. You need to get praise and worship going on in your house. Ladies, you want to make your house a peaceful house? Put on praise and worship. When your man comes home, it will be more peaceful. No, really, it will. It works. Because you're creating an atmosphere. So ladies, when your man comes home, or men, when your wives come home, because it sometimes flip-flop, what you want to do is make sure you create the atmosphere in your home. The young lady who came and visited, who's a roommate with Corinne, said one thing that she said before she left. She said, I have never been in a house where Jesus isn't just a Sunday thing. In our house, when you get up, praise and worship is playing, or the word is playing. I mean, that right there is filled with praise and worship, and is filled with the word of God. So you either hear praise and worship, or you hear the Bible being spoken right out loud from the YouVersion app. So in our house, immediately when you get up in the morning, we're fostering the atmosphere for God to move in our lives. This has to be a normal lifestyle for you. This is lifestyle. Lifestyle means you have to change what you're doing to create what you want. You have to change what you're doing to create what you desire. Means you can't do the same thing or you're going to get the same result. Amen? Praise and worship is an attitude and our life, not necessarily a song. Some people say to me, well, I don't like that kind of music. I only like hymns. Well, I like hymns. Sure, I love hymns. But you know, I love some of the new music too. I like everything but gothic. What's that gothic song? First time you cast out a devil. I mean, you hear that. I mean, I've heard them talk to me like that. So that's the only kind of music that I don't work with. But I love country Christian. I love country worship. I love hymns. I love rap, Christian rap. I love every genre there is, as the presence of the Lord can be fostered in all of it because it's bringing glory to Jesus. And so there's a need to recognize that this must be part of your normal lifestyle. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So every single morning, man, you need to create that atmosphere and say this, Lord, my life is not my own. Whatever you want to do with my life, let my life be your praise and worship, not my tongue. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Your tongue say one thing, but your heart is far from me. God is looking for your heart. On a Sunday morning, One of the worst things that my wife and I, we had to learn not to, we stopped driving together to church. When we had children, we put them in the trunk. And I'm just kidding. It's amazing on the way to church how often you'll get in an argument. How often something will happen and you'll get bent out of shape. So when you get to the house of God, you're not prepared any longer to praise and worship. You're growling, you're moaning, you're complaining. There's a need to make this part of your lifestyle so it's not about the song that Mackenzie and the team kick up on a Sunday morning. It's about where you already are before you ever walk in the doors. The goal is to create the atmosphere in your life as a lifestyle experience rather than a church song. This is very powerful. So let me keep going. Here we go. Praise and worship is our life. Is our life. Hebrews chapter 13, 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So the Lord is saying that we need to learn how to give a sacrifice of prayer, a sacrifice of praise. What's interesting about that is a lot of people's concept. It's an old song. It's a horrible song. You ready? Everybody put your hands up like this. I want you to go like this. Windshield wiper it. Ready? Here's the old song. Ready? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Whoever wrote that should die. I mean, it's just a horrible song. It's funny watching like 1,000 people go like this. We bring the sacrifice of praise. And then you got people that have no rhythm. But the sacrifice of praise isn't giving him what you got left over. The sacrifice of praise is giving him your best. That's what a sacrifice was always a lamb without spot or blemish. An animal that you gave to the Lord that was pure and that was holy. You see, when we come into the presence of the Lord, what happens on a Sunday morning and what should happen every day as our normal lifestyle is we should come into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I give you this sacrifice of praise. God, I thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you that today I have breath in my life. Do you know there are people that don't have breath today? That means they're going to be buried within a few days. They didn't wake up thinking they were going to die. In fact, what's amazing, I was on Facebook the other day and I found out that I have my 35th? My 30th Bible college reunion next month. I'm not going. There's no way I'm going to that. But I was also then looking at one of my friends from high school and she said, this individual from our class died last week in a car accident. Whoever thinks they're going to die? How many of you know somebody that died in their teens? How many of you know somebody that died in their 20s? How many of you know somebody that died in their 30s? How many of you know a baby that passed? Come on. This is where, listen, every single day that we have, we got something to thank him for. Can I hear an amen? And if you got Jesus living inside of you, you got a lot to thank him for. That means if you did take your last breath, you know where you're going to be. I mean, this hope that's inside of you, it's awesome. So we want to remember that this is an attitude. It's not a singing of a song. Listen, you can sing the best and never praise and worship. You can have the most operatic, I don't even know if that's a word. Is it? Thank you, Jesus. Just came to me. You can be the best singer in the world and never praise and worship. Because it has nothing to do with your mouth, has everything to do with your heart. And that's why so many people, they struggle with their walk with the Lord. Because they never take time to praise and worship. And guys, man, if you're intimidated, do it in your car. Just bob your head a little bit. They think you're rocking out. But, you know, you got to praise and you got to worship. It comes from your heart and it's a portion of thanksgiving. It's a matter of the heart. There's a song that goes, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you. That's what it's all about. Jesus said it the best in John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Here we go. Here's the verse. Excuse me. "But the hour is coming, and now is." Everybody say is. "When the true worshipers," watch that, "true worshipers," you know what that means? There are fake worshipers. If there are true ones, there are fake ones. So he's making a distinction here. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? In spirit means it's not just coming out of your mouth, you're meaning it out of your heart. The challenge with that is, again, you can be the best singer. Listen, I've watched, there's some nuts and flakes in the kingdom of God. I just need you to know that. You know, bugs always come to light. That's just the truth. And I remember one time, this lady, she came to the service. This is when we were in the school. And she had a big duffel bag, like a big duffel bag. She walked in with this big duffel bag, and she went to the back of the sanctuary, and Josiah was right there as the security team. And all of a sudden, she starts pulling stuff out of her bag. She pulls a leotard out of a different color, and she's got this color flag and this color pom-pom, and she's getting dressed. Because she dresses according to the color of the type of praise and worship you're singing. Nut and a flake. You can run around in your 2-2 or your 4-4. You can have every banner and every flag that has been created on the presence of the Lord, and it could say, "He's coming soon." But if it doesn't come from your heart, it means absolutely nothing. This is why I challenge you to start worshiping yourself. Because you'll learn how to create the atmosphere yourself. But then, when you come to church, listen, sometimes you just need to look at your husband, your wife, your friend, your buddy, or somebody sitting next to you you don't know and say, "Listen, I'm going up front. Go find a corner. Go to the back, find a corner. Get alone with God. Learn how to praise and worship." The corporate anointing. "One shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. The Bible says that where two or three are, there he is in the midst. The Bible declares in Psalms 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity." It is there that the anointing flows down the head of Aaron, down over his beard, down over his cloak, down to his feet. It's there that God commands his blessing. You see, it's in that corporate anointing that the presence of God gets stronger and more powerful. But if you're not participating, then it is just a show. And God wants you to participate with his presence. So what is praise? Praise and worship are different. You need to know that. They're not the same. You ever wonder why we do praise and worship before I preach? Exactly. You want the strongest presence of God, the strongest anointing to be available when you preach the word. So the anointing, what is the anointing? The anointing is that perpetual propulsion of the power of God. It is the energy from heaven that is released by the Holy Spirit. It is oil. It is likened under oil. It's like if you take an engine with no oil, what happens to the engine with no oil? It seizes up. It blows up. What happens if the engine has the best oil? It flows. It keeps that engine moving with lubricant, and it's flowing strong, and that engine can be at the highest performance. That's why we do praise and worship first, because we want the word to be at the highest performance that it can be. So praise, we see it in Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5. "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever." So the very first thing is called thanksgiving. Now we're not talking about Turkey Day. We're talking about an everyday. Being thankful. Have you ever met somebody that's not thankful? You know, you buy them something, and they look at you and go, "Well, that's good. Glad you bought it for me. I deserve that." You just want to slap them with the love of the Lord. You know, you want to lay hands on them with the fivefold ministry gifts. Pugh. No, lay no man. No, okay, move on. Here we go. Thanksgiving. The word for Thanksgiving in the Hebrew is called tauda. T-O-W-D-A-H. And it means to be thankful. Every one of us have so much. Even if hell is licking your toes, even if you're having the most horrible day, everybody in this room has something to thank Jesus for. If you got nothing else to thank him for, you're going to heaven. You got hair. Thank you. You're wearing clothes. How many of you ate once today? How many of you ate twice today? How many of you are fasting today? Don't raise your hand. Watch now. This is where every one of us, we live in America. We get to eat today. There are many countries where the children are not eating at all. But yet they're thanking the Lord that they have breath within their lungs. You see, every one of us have something to thank him for. And if you're learning how to praise and you're learning how to worship, it's simply like this. Father, I thank you that today. Listen, you can do it right in your living room. You can do it right in your car. You can do it in the shower. Some powerful experiences have happened with God in the shower, where it's just me being thankful to him. Lord, I don't want to be somebody that's ungrateful. I don't want to be somebody that takes advantage of you. God, thank you for the breath that's in my lungs. Thank you. You know, I do this every day. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you gave. Thank you, Jesus, for being tortured for me. Because it wasn't like the crucifix with a little trickle of blood coming down his face. Literally, his back was so torn open, you could see his bowels from the exterior, that his face was ripped out. All of the beard was torn out, and his face was punched to where he was unrecognizable. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was hung on a tree. He did all of that so that my sin that I did, that I'm guilty of, that I should die for, he took it all for me. Listen, man, I got something to thank him for. Amen? It's an old song. I was in darkness, but God brought me out, and I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. We all got a reason to shout. No matter how hell is at your toes, no matter how bad you think your life is, if you're born again, man, you got a reason to shout. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Ooh, I just felt that. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Isn't it exciting to know that if you die today, you're going to be with Christ? Amen. We all have something to thank him for. How many of you have a pillow? How many of you had two pillows? How many of you have more than five pillows on your bed? Dear Jesus, hallelujah. You got five things to thank him for today. Hallelujah. I mean, let's be honest. How many people don't have pillows? How many of you got a pair of jeans? How many of you got shoes? You know, it's amazing. We've had children come to this church on a Wednesday night with no shoes. Or shoes that are so small, their feet are all crammed in like this. That's right here in our town. We got shoes that fit. And if you don't got shoes that fit, we'll help you get some. See, we all got something to thank him for. We all have something to thank him for. So praise and thanksgiving are powerful. The other word for praise is tehillah. It is the Hebrew word that means praise, song, a hymn of praise, adoration, thanksgiving. Understanding that what you're going to praise him, that you literally are coming into his presence and thanking him for all that he has done in your life. You want to start literally physically feeling the presence of the Lord? Start praising him. Just by yourself, man. You don't got to have anybody around. You don't have to be a show. Just you and Jesus. When I go up to my man cave, there's no show. It's just me and Jesus and my dog. I don't think my dog's impressed. Benelli Brown's a good dog, but I don't think he's impressed because he doesn't move. He just lays there. Every once in a while, I'll get one of those eyeballs because I'm walking near his head. But honestly, what's powerful is that when you start to praise him, all of a sudden, you'll feel the presence of the Lord start to churn where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that I have life today. I thank you that I'm a person of destiny and purpose. I'm not here to suck air, God. If I was here just to suck air, my purpose was gone. I'd already be home. But I'm here, and today I'm getting ready to step into a real world with a real God who has real power. Thank you that you live inside of me. Thank you that you're walking with me and you're talking with me. Thank you, God, that I have a Bible in my hands, that I don't have to rip a page out and hide it somewhere in fear that they're going to kill me and decapitate me because I have scriptures in my pocket. I will hide your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. You see, it's so powerful when you realize how blessed we really are, how much God has done. We have so much to thank him for. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Listen, that means you're stepping in. Every once in a while, you'll see me do this. You'll see me do that on the pulpit. And that has nothing to do with you. That has to do with me. I might be standing up here on a Sunday morning, and as I'm standing up here on a Sunday morning, I get to see far more than I want to sometimes. And I'll stand up here on a Sunday morning, and I'll get irritated. And listen, I have the same responsibility you have. This is not, because I'm a preacher, doesn't mean nothing. I have to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I have to enter his courts with praise. And every once in a while, when I'm really like tweaked off and I know, man, I got to get up here and preach. I got to have some oil. You'll see me go like this. And in what I'm doing is I'm stepping into his gates. I'm making a decision that I'm going to praise him and take my eyes off the things of the world at that very moment, that I'm going to arrest my flesh and that I'm going to give God the thanksgiving that he's due because he's worthy to have it in my life. Amen? Amen. Here we go. So the next thing is the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. You see, what's powerful is it's when you're in your darkest times, your praise should be the loudest. Your darkest times should not be times of complaining. Where are you, God? I don't understand where you are. I've been waiting for you. I thought you'd answer my prayers. Worst thing, that's cutting off your nose, spite your face. When you're in your darkest times, that's when you should be praising the loudest. That's when you should be thanking him the loudest. What does the Bible say? Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanksgiving opens up the power of God in your life. It opens up the presence of God in your life. You're going to see the more you praise, the quicker you learn to praise, the quicker the presence will come to deliver you. And that's not a story, man. That is powerful. And every one of us in this room got so much to thank him for. So much to thank him for. Here we go. Verses that teach us to praise. I will Psalms 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell you of your marvelous works. The word marvelous works there with praise, it means yada, another Hebrew word for praise. The definition is to give thanks loud, not loud, loud, but loud as praise and thanks you. To confess the name of God. Psalms 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise and of your praise all day long. You'll find that the people that actually learn how to do this live happier. They're not affected by all the experiences that are happening on the planet. The book of Colossians is powerful. Chapter 3, verse 1. Why don't you turn there real quickly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I don't think that's in there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, just make the sound of the turning of pages. My wife and I have talked about making an app that makes it sound like Bible pages are turning to make preachers happy. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds, verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. So what happens is this. When you're praising, what you're actually doing is you're no longer looking down, you're looking up. The more you praise him, the more you don't see your problem. You praise him through your circumstance, and you'll find the answer will come into your pocket. Amen? Now, there's personal praise. That's when you individually do it every single day. If I could help you create a habit, it should be this. Every morning when you get up, don't talk to a human being. That means if you have children, you got to get up earlier. You should take the first 10 minutes just you and Jesus praising him. I'm going to guarantee you this. If you start doing that tomorrow, your day will be different starting tomorrow. And you'll find that even when trouble comes tomorrow, you'll see it differently. Because you started your day focused, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I challenge every one of you tomorrow morning, don't talk to another human being for 10 minutes. Just start praising him for 10 minutes. And I guarantee you, things will shift in your life. Things will shift in your life. And actually, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, you should pray in tongues for 10 minutes. Dr. Hagin did that every morning when he got up. He prayed for 10 minutes in the Holy Ghost. When I get up in the morning, I don't talk to a human being for almost an hour. Just me and Jesus. People think that I'm really, really spiritual. I really, really know God. And I'll tell you why I really, really know God. Because I hang out with him. You are who you hang with. The more you hang out with him, the more you're grateful to the one who has full access into heaven to give it to you, the wiser you are. Amen? Amen. That was free. Okay, here we go. Then there's public praise, and that's what we do on a Sunday morning. Honestly, folks, it saddens me sometimes watching people. Now listen, it's not that the back is sinful. I'm not condemning anybody. Because you can go back there and have a great outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. The weird part is, usually don't. And the reason is because in our church, we built this badly. I just need you to know that. That's my fault. I apologize. We built this badly. The next building will be built properly. If we built this properly, the pulpit area would be against that wall. And so it would be really close all the way around. What's happened is our church is deep. And so what happens when it's deep like this, our screen should be 20 footers. They're actually only, I think, 12s. Because the data projectors were $6,000 a piece when we built the building 10 years ago. And to go to the 20, they were $12,000. We just didn't have it. But really, these screens need to be another 8 feet larger on both sides. And there should be a screen here in the middle. And there should be two screens there in the back. What that would do is that would make everybody not feel dislocated who are sitting far in the back. But what we have is we have a problem. We have a challenge at our church. And it's not that anybody's bad, but what we have a challenge of is we find that people that sit in the back usually chat and talk the whole way through the service. In fact, it's not abnormal that I have to rebuke some of my staff who are sitting back in there talking the entire service. I've actually sent people back and said, tell them to be quiet. I can hear them from the altar. But the reason is not that anybody's bad, but what's happened is when you're back there, you're dislocated. So you're more oriented to what's around you rather than who's above you. Coming to the front in public worship is no more than just you positioning yourself. I have a question for you. How many of you take showers? I'm praying to see everyone's hand. Oh, I'm Jesus. Everyone takes a shower? How many of you don't have showers, you only take tubs? That's old school, okay? You're getting ready to take a shower tomorrow morning. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to turn your shower on, and I want you to stand in your bedroom. I want you to spit on your soap. I want you to rub it all over. Stay in the bedroom. What's going to happen to your soap? What's going to happen to the spit? Yeah, how much spit do you got? You know what's going to happen? Is you're not going to get wet. Is the shower running? You're going to be standing in the bedroom. Is there anything wrong with the bedroom? Is your bedroom bad? No. Are you bad for standing in your bedroom? No. But if you want a shower, where do you go? Because what's happening in the shower? That's where the water's running. Listen, you might even get a splash if you go to the hallway. You need a new shower head if that's happening. But the truth is, you might get splattered, but you're not going to get wet. You're not going to get washed. You're not going to get the best you can get. So what happens in public worship, the reason that we have people that usually gather around the altar, and I know, listen now, I know that there are some people that are exuberant. And that's okay. Not everybody worships the same way. But here's an old statement, ready? Get under the spout where the glory's coming out. That's real old, isn't it, Ma? Get under the spout where the glory's coming out. If the shower is pouring stronger here than there, it's not that you're not going to get splashed, but go to the spout. Get where the glory is coming out. And you'll find you'll have a stronger public worship experience. Now, is there anybody in the room that can validate that, that I'm not just talking out the top of my head? Donnie, I've seen you bouncing your head all over the place. Is that true, Donnie? Yeah, okay, thank you. He's still bobbing his head. Very good. Who used to sit in the back? Now listen, again, not saying anybody sitting in the back is bad. I'm not condemning anybody. Not putting anybody down. But who has experienced that the anointing is stronger here on a Sunday morning? In the front. Very good. How many of you have stood in the back and it's different? It is different. I challenge you. Sunday morning, if you see somebody like, we used to have this lady, she was from Nigeria. And she was from the inner portions of Nigeria. And Nigerians worship more exuberant than American, Anglicans. And I remember watching people's faces as she screamed out and she dropped before the Lord and she honored God knelt down here at the altar. I mean, she wore her native garb. It was beautiful. But I watched the Anglican Americans go like this. Like something was wrong. No, people worship different than you. There was a man that was jumping around the church. I think I've given the example, but Rod Parsley. He was dancing around the front of the church. And I mean, he was really exuberant. You know, he was really exuberant. And Rod Parsley stopped the service and he says, I see some of you staring at this man. I see some of you wondering why he's praising the way he's praising. He said, it wasn't your wife that was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. It wasn't your wife that was given death, that there was no hope for her life. It wasn't your wife that was going to declared by the doctors to die and leave you with the children at home. But his wife came to this altar. We laid hands on her. God did a miracle. The tumor disappeared. And he's got a reason to shout. He's got a reason to dance. He's got a reason to fly around this place. And let me tell you something. He had no restrictions and he went flying again. When I was at Bible school, we had this old lady, man. Every Sunday, ready? I'm saying, she worshiped like this. Like an airplane. She did this every Sunday morning. And we're all just, listen, I'm Bible school student. You know, I'm really not serving God well. And we made fun of this old lady. Here comes the airplane. Call in the landing now. Call in the landing. We made fun of her all the time. And one day, they stood up and they said, I see how you're staring at her. What you don't know is every day when she comes home from church, her husband beats her physically because she came to church that day. Every time she came to church, her husband literally physically beat her with his fists. She had a reason to dance. Because I could dance and it might not mean nothing to me, but it meant everything to her. So I challenge you in corporate worship, don't be a bystander. Do you remember when the woman came up? Man, God, please just stop the time. Really, I just need more time. And I apologize. Sometimes I babble. I apologize. But I'm really trying to make these points so you truly understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's move on. Here we go. I got to make sure I get through. Public praise, Exodus chapter 15, 1 and 2. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider is thrown into the sea. That's when the Egyptians got drowned in the sea, in the Red Sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with the trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals, and the praise of the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endures towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Psalms 22, verse 25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. Luke chapter 19, 34 through 38, and they said, Lord, as need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on it. And he said, and as he went, they spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in the heaven and glory in the highest. You know what's going to be funny to me is when we get to heaven and all the liturgical churches get there and all of a sudden heaven's loud. You really think heaven's going to be quiet? Do you think that actually you're going to see Jesus for the first time and go, hey, dude, how are you? Hey, Jesus. Selfie. Man, when you see Jesus, you're either going to be totally silent in the awe of the presence of the Lord, or you're going to be just shouting because you now see the Messiah face to face, who paid the price for every one of your sins and every one of your sicknesses and your poverty. And the one who took it all upon him is now standing in front of you. You will be no more grateful. You'll be no more happy. You'll be no more joyous than to see him eye to eye and face to face in the presence of God. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be quiet. You're going to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What's going to happen to all these poor folk, man? They come to church and they've been humming their whole life, and now everybody's shouting. It's going to shock them. That's what we tell people. Come here long enough, we'll mess you up. You can't go back to the quiet church. And all we're trying to do is get you ready for heaven, because heaven's not going to be a quiet place. It's going to be a loud place. Amen? So here we go. What is worship? So that's praise. Praise is thanksgiving, and praise is letting them know that you appreciate what he's done. What he's done. Everybody say praise. Praise is you're thanking him for what he's done. Worship is thanking him for who he is. Now, there are many times, in fact, I just sat down with Mackenzie. Worship leaders, I love worship leaders, but worship leaders like certain songs. Now, I could care less about the song. Like I said, I could sing country, or I could sing a little bit rock and roll. Okay, sorry. I could do rap. It is scary. On a Sunday morning, we could do it all. You don't think I'd be a good rapper?
I want to see you.
No, I'd scare myself. Watch now. But here we are. It's where you and I, a lot of worship leaders, I had a guy quit on me one time because he sang a song about water. And I looked at him after service and I said, that had nothing to do with worship. I said, I don't ever want to hear that song in this church again. And he said, well, then I quit. I said, well, then have a great day. I said, I don't need to sing about water. I want to sing about Jesus. Worship is not about a song. Worship is about thanking him and loving him for who he is, not just what he does. I mean, worship is, you are an awesome God. Not because you died on the cross for me, although that, I praise you for that. But whether you died on the cross or not, you're still an awesome God. Worship is praising him for who he is, not what he's done. So praise, and this is a problem on Sunday because you're going to be evaluating McKenzie. You'll hear praise songs. The question is, will you hear worship songs? That's what you have to evaluate. And that's what you have to do. Every single day in your personal time, it's not just about you thanking him, but it's about you stepping into worship and start thanking him and start worshiping for who he is, not just what he's done. So like Mackenzie and I, we've sat down and we've actually worked out criteria. This is what I consider a worship song. You have to sing about him and to him, not about water. I hate those water songs. All right, let's move on. Worship is glorifying him for who he is, not what he's done. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Worship, Strong's exhaustive concordance. It means a definition to bow down. It means to recognize that somebody's greater than you. I have a quick question for you. Please don't answer. When was the last time you worshiped him kneeling? When was the last time your outward expression declared what the inside declaration was? That God, you're greater than me, and I lay out prostrate before you. Sometimes I say prostrate. That's right. I'm supposed to say prostrate before you. Not prostate. We don't want any glands in here. It's not about glands. That word, I always mess it up. It's horrible. When was the last time you laid out before God and worshiped him? The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Worship is recognizing that he's greater than you. That he is holy. That he is righteous. That he is powerful. That he is. He is. When you start recognizing that, all of a sudden, you'll feel the presence of the Lord increase. See, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I've stepped in. But now you start declaring who he is. Father, you are holy. I thank you that there is no sin in you, near you, beside you. I thank you, God, that you are trustworthy and faithful. For Jesus, you are called faithful. And all of a sudden, you start worshiping him. You are my Savior. You are healer. You are restorer. And the presence just starts to churn. Just starts to churn. And you can actually increase the presence of the Holy Spirit wherever you are, not just in church, when you step into worship. There's an actual Hebrew word, it's called tehillai. And it means there are no more words to speak. You are worship to him. Just you, with no words coming out of you. You are worship. It is one of the deepest places. If you've never been there, it's when the presence of the Lord is so thick, everybody's quiet. You can hear a pin drop. No one's moving. No one's rustling around. Actually, when one of the speakers was here just recently, we actually had a staff meeting. And the Holy Spirit went whoosh, just like a blanket. And I'm not talking like one of us felt the presence of the Lord. Every one of us stopped. His presence was so thick. And for a period of time, all we did was worship him. And then Brother Shelton broke out in prophecy. Oh my goodness. You see, prophecy is always stirred by presence. And the stronger the presence, the more prophecy. Woo. You see, now I tangibly feel him right now. And if you'll just take a second, just lift your hands up. Jesus, we recognize you. And we want you. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. I'm just speaking your word. I need you to teach your pupils, your disciples, how to worship Jesus, how to worship the Father. Come in a very powerful manner, Holy Spirit. We just release your presence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We worship you. Stronger, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. See, it's in these moments you collect your head, you arrest your thoughts, and you just start worshiping, and all of a sudden, his presence will come. He loves this. This is why Satan hates you so much. This is why he hates you so much. Because you can worship him and he can't. And he wants your worship so desperately. He wants you to recognize him as your God and to honor him. That's why he was cast out of heaven. When we worship, we focus on who he is. He is our creator. He's our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, our provider, our healer, protector, our peace, our shepherd, our guide, our righteousness. He is faithful, salvation. He's our deliverer. He's our friend. He's our daddy. He's our love. He is the I am that I am. He is. Ooh. See, when you get this, man, everything changes. Has nothing to do about being a preacher. This has to do with you having a relationship with God. And his presence comes when you praise, enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And then you start to worship. And then the anointing goes just like this. You have no clue what will happen on a Sunday morning if 2/3 of this congregation will do that. One of my prayers I've been asking the Holy Spirit to do is I've been asking the Holy Spirit for the last 2 years that the anointing would become so strong in the sanctuary. Now, there were 790 some odd people here on Sunday morning, not counting doubles. So counting doubles, over 900. So we don't count doubles. Can you imagine if the presence of God came so strong that everybody went out in the spirit with no one touching them at the exact same time? That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying the anointing would be so strong like it was in Chronicles. The Bible says that the priests couldn't even stand in his presence. Whoop, there's the anointing right there. Go. You see, what you learn when you learn to praise and worship, you learn how the anointing flows. And what happens is the anointing flows from you. So you'll see all of a sudden a burst of the presence of God. Or many times God will move in a wave. You'll see the influx of the presence of the Lord will just literally go through the congregation just like a wave. And other times he'll descend in certain areas. But if you never praise and worship, you'll never be able to understand that. Because this is not stuff that's in the flesh, it's stuff that's in the spirit. And when you're praising and worshiping, you're stepping into the spirit and out of the flesh. And your spirit man becomes very keen, very aware. And all of a sudden, you can recognize the presence of the Lord. One of the most cool experiences I ever had was in Newfield. And the worship leader was a guitarist. And he's up there. I'm sitting right here. And we only had one aisle and went down the middle. It was a small church. It sat, I think, 200 people. And he's up here. I'm down there. And I literally, during praise and worship, the anointing was so strong, I watched Jesus walk across the front of the altar and watched him walk down the aisle. He went right past me. And I looked up to him, and he looked down at me, and he goes, "Did you see that?" And I went, I didn't just see Jesus. He saw Jesus. We saw him at the exact same time. And he literally walked down the aisle. A lady came up to me after service, and she said, "It's the strangest thing. During praise and worship, I smelled like a bouquet of roses walk right past me." She said, "What was that?" And I said, "Well, me and the worship leader saw Jesus literally walk down past you," because she was on the end. See, don't look at the things which can be seen, for they're temporary, but look at the things which cannot be seen, for they're eternal. And many of us have exercised our flesh so much that we no longer recognize the Spirit. But the way to recognize the Spirit is to be a person who will learn how to step in to his courts. And then the anointing will come. And as he comes, he changes us from the inside out. And we start to learn how he moves. You know, if your mom or dad, whatever, came home from work, you knew what they were going to do. My grandfather was funny. My grandpa Spencer, he would come home from work. He would walk in and goes, "Elsie, bring me my food." And he'd sit in his reclining chair, recline all the way back. My grandma would bring the food, put it in his lap. He did it every night. He'd watch TV. He just knew what grandpa was going to do. Why? Because I was there long enough to watch him and how he did what he did. When you're in his presence, you learn how he does what he does. Where he goes, how he thinks. See, praise and worship is a massive part of your life. And if you just are a bystander, you get to watch the results of the tree, but you never feel the breeze. I want to feel the breeze. I want more of Jesus. Amen? Yes. While you're worshiping, it almost feels like somebody's touching you? Absolutely. I mean, we've had people literally, if you've ever gone to some of these, if you've ever gone to a Benny Hinn crusade, and he releases the presence of the Lord, usually it's during the Hallelujah song. You'll have 20,000 people go out in the Spirit, no one touching them. Literally, people getting out of wheelchairs. I'm not even exaggerating. I'm talking standing out of wheelchairs. Why? Well, why is it? He's learned how to foster the presence. And the presence of God is tangible. Jesus is here right now. I don't see him. Well, maybe you need a new set of glasses. Or maybe you need to learn how to worship and open your spirit. All right, I'm going to kill you, fly, in the name of Jesus. Foul beast, get on my teeth. All right, I'm going to end with this. Positions of praise. The greatest position, as explained in the beginning of the chapter, is the position of the heart. Your heart and your focus must be correct. If somebody's talking, leave them. Don't miss your moment of worship. Well, I'm offended because, you know, I don't like how loud it is. Put earplugs in. Well, you know, I'm around people that distract me. Then leave them. Why would you abandon the corporate praise that you have opportunity to be experienced in? Don't lose that. It's a matter of the heart. Number two, there are physical positions. Number one, instruments playing. We play instruments because Psalms 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, which is between heaven and earth. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. That's right, dance. It's okay to dance before the Lord. Well, that's just kind of weird. It's not weird when you're drunken in the bar, is it? I mean, you don't mind worshiping the spirits while you're drinking them. Oh, come on now. I feel God. I mean, you don't mind dancing around acting the fool when you're drunk. Don't be filled with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. But we come to church and we expect people not to be exuberant. Well, I guess it does depend on how much you've been delivered from, doesn't it? For those who've been delivered from much have much to praise him for. Come on now, that's just free. Singing aloud. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in his praise in the assembly of the saints. Raising your hands. Why do people raise their hand in church? No, they're not checking their deodorant. The reason that people raise their hand is that they're showing outwardly what's happened inside. I surrender. When was the last time you surrendered to the Lord? Listen, if you can't raise your hand when it's praise and worship with just you and Jesus, then really you shouldn't do it in church anyways. Because you don't need to show off to anybody. Listen, I raise my hand in church. I dance before God in church. I shout to God in church. And I do it in my man cave with my dog. Almost every morning. It is my lifestyle. Praise and worship. Raising your hands, the Bible makes a declaration in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Psalm 63, 3 and 4, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you, thus I will bless you. While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. Shouting! The Bible says, Psalms 100, verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Clapping your hands, Psalms 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Dancing before the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 14 and 15. Then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David is wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Psalms 150 verse 4. Praise him with the timbrel and with the dance. Sing a new song. A new song is it just coming out of your spirit. Has nothing to do with the words that are up on the screen. It's just bubbling right out of you. And then the glory of the Lord. I love the glory of God. And that is when the presence of the Lord comes in such a powerful manner. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Indeed, it will come to pass that when the trumpeters and the singers are as one, that's called unity, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, praise the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever, that the house and the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. You see, when this whole house comes together as one and we just get enthralled with God, we've had the glory cloud in here a few times. I think one of the funniest times was watching five grown men trying to figure out what it was in the back of the sanctuary. Bob Burbank was one of them. The presence of the Lord was so thick, and it was right back there by the sound booth. Was so thick, they were literally walking into that glory cloud and stepping back out. You could literally feel it. I've been in the presence of the Lord where the anointing was so strong, it literally came upon you like a coat. Other times comes upon you just like a blanket, and there's nothing you can do. The presence of God is so heavy. The word glory means heavy. The glory of God is just heavy. You need the heaviness of God in your life. The final purpose, praise and worship, is not about us or using our skill before the Lord. It has become this, that our hearts are not focused or aimed on the Lord. And again, one more time, and it said it in John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is lifestyle, everybody. And as your pastor, I want you to know that this is my lifestyle. This is my wife's lifestyle. This is my children's lifestyle. You want your kids to know how to praise and worship? You praise and worship. You don't praise and worship? Why are you shocked, man? Why are you shocked when your kids don't? You can't be shocked. If your hands aren't lifted up here on a Sunday morning, if you're not laying out before God, if you're not doing this at home with your children, then why would you think your kids would? They do nothing more than mimic you. My kids have seen us worship and praise their whole life. Whole life. It is normal. You know what's abnormal? Is when it's not in their life. When the King of Kings is not getting what he deserves in the homes. And when you make it your lifestyle, you'll find your kids will be the first ones to the altar. Kayla and Terry's kids are up at the altar. Zach Ramsey's kid is at the altar. There are so many adults now that are bringing their kids to the altar, just letting them worship. Kids know how to worship. They're not like adults. They're not intimidated. They could care less whether you laugh at them or dance. You won't laugh at a kid dancing. You're just laughing at an adult dancing. I challenge you to be a worshiper at home. Make this your lifestyle. So tomorrow morning and every day from here, ready? Your number one priority? We'll end right here. I did really good. This was a 3-hour lesson, and it's done in an hour and 15 minutes. And I was 10 minutes late, remember? So we're at 1 hour and 5 minutes. I feel a miracle coming on. This is what I want you to do. 10 minutes, don't talk to another human being in the mornings. If that means you got to get up 10 minutes early, then get up 10 minutes early and worship him. Praise and worship every morning for 10 minutes before talking to another human being. And then get into the Word. If you will do that and then get in the Word will become more alive to you. It will feed your spirit. So let's all stand. I want to encourage you to be a giver. That's part of also praise and worship. Father, I just thank you that you are so good to us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Listen, I can teach your class, God. I can teach your word, God. But you're the one who makes it happen in their life on a daily basis. So, Father, I ask you, Holy Spirit, I ask you that you when you dwell in them, that you will start moving on them tomorrow morning. Spirit of God, I'm asking you specifically that you'll put a song in their heart when they wake up. That immediately when they wake up, they'll have a praise and worship song already working in their spirit. That because you don't sleep, you don't slumber, that when they wake up, there'll be a song already running through their mind about praise and worship. Hope, Holy Spirit, overwhelm them so that they'll learn this principle of how to be more successful in our walk with you. We love you. Bless the offering. Bless the brothers and sisters in the house. In Jesus' name, amen.